Lord, we thank you and we bless you. Thank you and bless you, Lord, for another opportunity to fellowship around your word. Speak to us now, Lord, through your word, as it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, as we try our best to navigate through this fallen, broken, dark, decaying world, Lord. We just ask that you lead and guide us through your word, that you would give us a hunger and a desire and a fire for your word, Lord. Let us meditate on your word daily. We thank you, Lord. We bless you. We love you. Speak to us now. Our hearts are open. Our ears are ready to receive and discern what the Lord is speaking to us this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, family. I'm going to be all over the place this morning. I was trying to just study in a straight line, but it didn't work. Amen. So, and remember, you have your Bibles. Please make it a habit of bringing your Bibles to church. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:4. Paul has just talked about the second coming of Christ, talked about the rapture, the day of the Lord coming as a thief in the night. So then Paul makes a shift, and then he starts talking about us, how we should conduct ourselves while we are waiting for Christ to return. Verse 4, he says, but you, brethren, brethren being a generic term for mankind, which means men and women and all of us in this room, but you, brethren, are not in darkness that the day should overtake you as a thief. Paul talked about the day of the Lord coming as a thief in the night. Paul is telling us, but we're not in darkness. We're not practicing sin, so the day of the Lord should not sneak up on us like a thief in the night, because he did say the Lord is coming back as a thief in the night. So Paul is making it clear, when we're connected with God, when we're in the light, we can discern the times, and many would agree in these times that the Lord could come back any minute, and most say that we're living in the last days, but who knows? They always have thought that time was near, the Lord was returning. But a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. So even if it is the last day, it could be the last 1,000 years, which will outlive all of us. But Paul is saying, as we are waiting, watching, and praying, that we should be operating as children of light. We're not in the darkness. Darkness in the Greek means shadiness. You shouldn't be out there doing anything that's shady. I guess the young folks would say you shouldn't be throwing shade on yourself. Walking in darkness. Verse 5. You're all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. So family, as we are waiting on God, we should be walking in the light. Again, darkness is shade. Night in the Greek means a time of moral stupidity. Wow. So God is saying, as you're waiting for God, don't be stupid. Don't be living stupidly. Amen. Don't be out there in a bunch of sin. Now, we always make the distinction. When he's talking about children of darkness, he's talking about those that are practicing sin and could care less about God, even within the church. Don't ever get it confused, the struggle and the practice. We all struggle with things, but we should not be practicing any type of sin. We should not, well, this is just the way I am. No, you've been born again. It's not the way you are, because if you're in Christ, you're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So it's just not the way you are, because your new nature is born again, just like Jesus Christ. So it shouldn't be in that, this is just the way I am. And you know, my mom was in my dad, it runs in my family, and I'm just like this. That's not what the word teaches. That's totally contrary to the word. We are new creatures in Christ. We have been born again. You should not be walking in darkness. You should not be in shadiness. You should not be living in moral stupidity as one that does not know God. So here is Paul making it plain. As we are waiting for Christ to return, there is a way we are to live. Then he says, verse 6, therefore, let us not sleep. Don't let us be lazy as others are, but let us watch and be sober as we are waiting for Christ to return. Let us watch, as the young folks say, stay woke and be alert as we're waiting for God to return. So then we went over to 1 John. Take a look at 1 John. First John 1, and let's start at 5. If you there, say amen. Make a note, family. This then is the message which we have heard of him. And this is John talking now, because John and the other disciples were with Christ. He's saying, this is what we heard directly from God's mouth, from Christ. And we declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness, no shadiness, no stupidity, no moral stupidity at all. Make a note of that, because people are quick to tell you what God is love. We should love each other. We're all about love. It says right here that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Yes, God is love, but he's also light, and he's also holy. You can't pick and choose which aspect of God you want to live by. God is light. There is no darkness in him. There is no shadiness in him. And when we reflect God, there should be no darkness and no shadiness in us that we're practicing. This then is a message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Make a note, verse 6, with if. Make a note with if. If implies that you have a choice. Our life comes down to two letters, I and F. We have a choice whether we choose to serve, whether we choose to live for God or not. Everyone has a choice. And when we stand before God, we will be without excuse. It is a conditional promise. It is a conditional covenant, what he's speaking here. It is a choice. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You cannot say that you have fellowship with God, because God is light, and you're practicing sin, you're practicing darkness, you're a lie, and the truth is not in you. Let me try that again. If you and I say that we have fellowship with him, with God, and we're practicing sin, we're practicing darkness, we're deceiving ourselves, we're a lie, and the truth is not in us. It's a hard word. It's not a popular word. It's an offensive word, but it's God's word. So you got the first if in verse 6. Verse 7. Take a note, it also starts with if. This is all conditional. And ladies and gentlemen, the if is on us. The if is on us. It's not on God. God is telling us if we choose to. The if is always on us, and I'll show you in just a minute. We'll go a little bit deeper with the if. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Because you can have friendship with people, but not fellowship. If they're in darkness, we got friends who were in darkness. Amen. But we don't have fellowship with them, because fellowship comes from God. It's intimate fellowship of knowing Jesus Christ. So you can have friendship with people, but you can't have fellowship with them. If they're in the light and you're in darkness, if you're in darkness, they're in the light. If you're in the light and they're in the light, you can have fellowship. If you're in darkness and you have darkness, you just have a dark friendship. But there's no fellowship there. God is nowhere in there. Fellowship comes from God. The intimate fellowship comes from God. It's a heart-to-heart connection with God. God said, you can't have no heart-to-heart connection with me if you are practicing darkness, because our sin separates us from God. That's why Jesus Christ had to come and die on the cross to save us from our sins, so we could be and cover our sins, so we could be reconnected with God. Amen. But if we're in darkness, we've broken the fellowship with God. And then either we need to get saved or we can rededicate our life to rebuild that fellowship right back with God, to be justified just as if I've never sinned before. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Verse 8 starts off with if again. If we say we have no sin, we're deceiving and lying ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If is on us. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. When we compare ourselves to God, there is no question that we are sinful and that we need a Savior. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Take a look. Jay, take us to Isaiah 6:1. Family, when we pray daily, somebody say amen.
Amen.
You're asking God to forgive you of your sins. We call them omission and commission. Omission is the sins that I commit where I don't even know about. So I got to ask forgiveness for those. Amen. I'm not going to be walking around fooling myself thinking I'm not committing sin. Just the little things that we think don't matter. Every little thing, God is a God. Make a note. You should have this already. God is a God of order, detail, and specifics. All throughout Scripture, order, detail, and specifics. Every little thing counts. So I ask God for forgiveness of sins of omission, the ones I just have no idea I committed, and then commission, the ones I do and know I shouldn't be doing. The ones that we do and that we shouldn't be doing.
Right. Amen. Amen.
God, forgive me of the sins I committed knowingly or unknowingly. God, forgive me of the sins I tried to pretend didn't happen. God, forgive me of the sins I tried to cover up. Come clean. That's why we have fellowship with God, because we're not holding anything back.
Right.
Scriptures tell us we hide iniquity, if we hide sin in our heart, it keeps us apart from God.
Yes.
God will not even hear your prayers. God will not regard, will not respond to your prayers with that sin in your heart. Come clean and fellowship and talk to God. Okay, did I say Isaiah 5?
Yes.
I should have said Isaiah 6.
Six
I did?
One.
6:1. Thank you. This is Isaiah speaking. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Make a note of that. Isaiah said, when he saw God, he saw him high and lifted up. His train filled the temple, and he's sitting on the throne. He didn't see that little picture they have painted of him. That's not what he saw. And family, I mean, just so we understand that picture, you know that's not God. We got a lot of theories on that picture. Who painted it? Well, not necessarily who painted, but what it was an image of. Some say it was whoever the ruler was at the time. It was his son, and he wanted his son on the picture, and they're changing the image. But God already told us. I'll show us in just a minute. God already said, don't make no images of me.
That's right.
In the heavens above, on the earth, or in the sea beneath. So why we got pictures of God? People worshiping pictures. People worshiping the Pope in direct contradiction to Scripture. So some say that picture is the son, and somebody say the son of the guy, the king at the time, and then some say whoever Da Vinci painted it was his gay lover. I'm just telling you this because when you go into these prisons and you're in these schools and these college campuses and these questions are coming, you better know that no, that's not Jesus Christ. And it is somebody who just painted a picture of somebody they liked or somebody they was into. It's not what Isaiah saw. That's not the picture Isaiah saw when he saw God high and lifted up. And so we got images. And it's a whole lot with images. So they paint a picture of somebody that looks nothing like God because nobody knows what he looks like. And when he's described in the Bible, it definitely doesn't look like that. But then you get into the power images. What does it mean? It means a lot. You shouldn't. I've walked in a church and I've seen that picture in churches. I've seen it in people's house and they bowing down to it. Why are you bowing down? Family, that's why. If we're not fluent in the word, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. If you're not fluent in the word, you don't understand what's going on. The deception that's going on. And painting God to look like this and just separates people, all a strategy of the enemy. Images, Pastor Dumb, yes, it does. Why do you think they spend, $2 million for a 30-second commercial at the Super Bowl? And you tell me images don't matter. Because they know when you see it, you're going to buy something. I mean, I don't even like Burger King. And by the way, that's not the right king either. All right? Okay, don't get caught up in it. There's many. That's why Jesus is the King of Kings. I haven't been to Burger King in decades, but I've been watching the games, and that little flame broiled burger been coming up. When they just closed the one on Carson Street in Cherry. But when I'm out, you know, we've got kind of like high class now. We've gotten, what do you call it? Siditi, so we go to In-N-Out now. You know, we ain't gonna go to Burger or John's favorite Five Guys burger, the burger place. So we've gotten all high class and Siditi. We won't go to Burger King, but because I've seen that so many times when I'm watching the game, I'm gonna get me a flame broiled burger. Sorry, John, you know I got you. On that one, John. But that's how powerful the images are. I want me a flame broiled burger from Burger King, just because I've been watching the games. So when they put together a picture and distribute it and have people looking up to it, it does a lot, especially for people that are already oppressed. And they're looking at the wrong image of God. And you have people get caught up in images. But it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting up on a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. The robe, his presence filled. And above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, with two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. Those are angels. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy God is three times holy. He's three times consecrated, separate. That's why we have to confess our sin, because God is so far beyond holy, we have no idea. We needed something to save us because we couldn't save ourselves. And then it says, the whole earth is full of his glory. When you're driving from church today and you just look up and you see the clouds and you see the sky, or you see a tree, or you see a bird, and you go about by the water with us being in Long Beach, just look at the glory of God. That's why God said we'll be without excuse, because people will not be able to stand before God and say, well, I didn't know you existed. The whole earth is full of his glory. You can't miss it unless you choose to miss it. Says, and the post of the doors moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, look what Isaiah said. He says, oh my gosh, I am jacked up. When you start studying this word, that's why most people don't want to study it, because they can't surrender and humble themselves, because they're going to find out that it's about God. It's not about me. It's about God's will being done, not my will being done. Isaiah saw that. He said, man, I'm looking at God. He's looked at the true picture of God, not some little cupcake picture of God. You see that, you got, man, I got it. When you see that picture, like, man, I got it going on, if that's what I'm compared to. That's why God said, don't make any images. But when we saw the true and living God, he said, man, I'm jacked up. I'm destroyed because I'm a man of unclean lips. He realized everything that he would say and all the foolish things he said and what he thought was messed up. He said, I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Somebody say amen. We all jacked up. Why? Because his eyes have seen, look, what, the King, capital K, the Lord, the true King. Not some made up king. We give credit. There's kings and other kings. He said, the Bible says, give honor when honor is due, tribute when tribute is due. But there's only one King of kings. Isaiah saw him as the Lord of hosts. When you have that encounter with God, you have to humble yourself and ask for forgiveness. But it says, if, remember, the if is on us. Let me show you a couple more things. Let's go to Deuteronomy 5. We've been studying this in Bible study, and it's been going really well. We've been studying Deuteronomy and Romans, and it's just been God in the Old Testament concealed, God in the New Testament revealed. But when you look in the Old Testament, God is really not concealed. You can see Jesus Christ throughout the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. But here's where we get into trouble, family. Look at Deuteronomy 5 and 6. You there say amen. Amen. Deuteronomy 5 and 6. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And you substitute that whatever God's brought you out of. Amen. Amen. Lord, thank you for saving us. And then thank you for saving us from ourselves. Because you brought us out, Lord. We couldn't bring ourselves out. If it was up to us, we'd still be in. If we would still be alive, just in it till we just destroy ourselves, self-destruct. But God said, I'm the Lord, your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You should have no other gods, look, it's a little g, before me. Nothing should take the place of God. Family, nothing should be more important in your life than the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, we honor, we give tribute, but nothing takes the place of God. We don't worship anything but God. Amen? Amen. Then here's 8. So here's a direct contradiction to what the world, even the church, has done. Thou shalt not make you any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above. So that's angels and all that kind of stuff. People worship angels. I got my guardian angel. I got this. People get into all that kind of stuff. The heaven, the stars in the heaven. People want to worship the stars, and they got their signs and live their life by the horoscope. And God said, you don't make any image of or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath. So here we are, the earth. They'll make an image. So that's a man, that's a woman, that's a beast, that's a picture, it's a symbol, it's a cross. We acknowledge the cross. We don't worship the cross. We worship the one that died on the cross. He says, all right, that is in the waters beneath. You got people in the whales and dolphins and fish and all that. God say, don't worship. Cut it out. Tell them from the start. Don't have no other God before me. Don't get into brands. Don't get into logos. We appreciate all that stuff. We are ambitious. We're business owners. We're all that. We get that. But we don't worship the business. We don't worship the brand. We don't worship the logo. We worship Jesus Christ. And we use everything as a platform to share the good news of Jesus Christ with anybody who will listen. We don't worship the church. We worship Jesus Christ, who's the head of the church. You have people who are worshiping their church, worshiping their pastor. Some of us have been in ministry a long time. We see more than what we wanted to see. But we worship Jesus Christ. God said, in the scriptures, it's clearly written, no other gods, get off these images. Because God knew as soon as we start getting to an image, he's out the way. God said, don't have none of that and no other God. Verse 9, you should not bow down yourself unto them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, that detest me. But look what he says. Verse 10, and showing mercy, somebody say amen, to thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. So either you love him or you hate him. Either way, there's benefits and consequences either way. Either love God, you hate God. God said, you can't play, though. You can't love me and love other things. You can't put anything before God. All right. So the if is on us. All right. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Let's go to Mark 9. Mark 9:22. I told you I tried to study in a straight line today. It didn't work. But here's the if that is on us. Did I say Mark 9:22? So this is our praying and one of our praying and fasting scriptures. But here's the if right here. Jesus had healed the It's in the process of healing the man's son who was filled with a dumb or mute spirit. And it says, and oftentimes it cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if, this is a dad talking to Jesus, he tried to throw the if on Jesus. But if thou can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. All right. Jesus in verse 23 said, wait, the if is not on me. The if is not on God. The if is on us. Jesus, verse 23, Jesus said unto him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. That's what you call in basketball, a no look pass. He tried to pass it to Jesus, a chest pass. Jesus threw the no look right back to him. He said, the if is not on me. Jesus said, the if is not on me. The if is on you. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. All right. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 2 and 14. I'm sorry, 7 and 14. Second Chronicles 7 and 14, a very familiar passage. Family, make a note, those of you that are taking notes, so the if implies that we have a choice. Serving God is a choice and there are consequences either way. God did not create robots. Make a note, God did not create robots. We do have a choice. And remember, you and I, we will worship something because we're created to worship. You are worshiping something. Even if it's yourself, you're worshiping something. Nobody's neutral. Something has your heart. That's why the scriptures say, love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. God wants our heart. All right, so here we go. We'll finish with this one today. Did I say 2 Chronicles 7:14? Very familiar passage of scripture. Starts off with what letter? I. Okay. What word? There you go. If my people. It's always a choice. And right here it says, if my people. So there are promises to us corporately as believers. And they don't get personal. He already told us if. He's going to tell Solomon, if you. So it's individually. But it's also corporately. So make a note, family, this is an inner office memo. So this is to believers right here. This is not for outside the company. This is not for the world. This is inner office memo. Directly from the king to his servants. And he's saying, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble, shall surrender themselves and pray, intercede, and seek my face, my presence, and turn from their wicked, was bad and evil ways, then will I hear, then will I respond from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. The if is on us, family. We wonder what's going on with the world today. It's right here. God's people, God say the world's going to do what the world is going to do. But if you all, if my people, which are called by my name, will surrender themselves and pray and seek my face. Oh, no. When was the last time that we, or you individually, when was the last time you prayed and you were seeking God's face? When was the last time you were interceding for someone? We do it corporately. We do it on Sunday mornings. We do it on Wednesday nights. But you should be doing it personally. You got to take this as a personal challenge from God. And then turn from our wicked ways. That's why we confess our sin, and we says to confess and forsake. In Proverbs, I believe it's 28:13. He that covereth sin shall not prosper, but those that confess and forsake shall find mercy. Got to turn away. We got to turn around. We got to get out of that. Then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal the land. Says, my eyes shall be open and my ears attentive unto the prayer that is made in this place. God has always been specific, detailed, orderly. God's told us how to live a victorious life in him. But in our Christian walk comes down to two letters, I and if. He didn't say when my people, or because my people, said if my people. Verse 16, for I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart, underline heart, shall be there perpetually. God wants a heart-to-heart connection. That's why we pray and fast every morning. That's why we read the Proverbs. That's why we read our worship scriptures, so we can have that heart-to-heart connection, because God wants to connect with our heart perpetually, which means all the time. I don't know why you would want a day off from your heart being connected to God's heart. I don't know why. With everything that's going on in the world today, can we really take a day off from being connected to God? And then he shifts and he makes it personal for Solomon. Look what he says in verse 17. He talked about corporately. And I thank God for a church, a praying church. One of the things that impressed me most was the women on whatever day. It used to be women on Wednesday. Now it's women on Tuesday. I don't know when y'all pray, but I know y'all pray. Since day one, y'all praying. I thank God for that. God intercede. Thank God for a praying church. So he talks about us corporately. And then with the prayer, we surrender. It's hard to pray when you're not surrendered to God. It's hard to pray. We're going after his presence. We're turning from our wicked ways. And only you and God knows that. So God can hear, forgive, and heal. You wonder why maybe my prayers aren't being answered. Well, check out the formula right here. I've humbled myself. I'm praying. Am I seeking God's favor? Maybe a little. Have I turned from my wicked ways? Oh, there we go. Oh, now I see why. God can't even hear until we get it right with him. And this is talking about healing the land. It's not talking about our salvation, because once we have Christ in our heart, our salvation is sealed. It's not performance-based, but now that we are saved, how do we get the land healed? how we get our family healed, how we get our church healed. It says it's right there. Now he shifts in verse 17, talks to Solomon. Now it's person go from corporately to personally. As for you, what's the next word after that? The if is on us. As for you and I, family, if you will walk before me as David, your father, walked and do according to all that I have commanded you and shall observe my statutes and my judgments. So we make a note that the statutes, the commandments, the judgments, when you look at them in the Hebrew, the word for that is prescription. God says, follow my prescription. And that's something. You guys go to the doctor say, take this line of about 10 medicines, tell you to take them, and you'll take them. Because the doctor said it. God says, I need you to live like this, live like this, live like this. You say, oh, I don't want to do that. God's given us prescriptions to live so we don't self-destruct. It's not a list of do's and don'ts. It's a prescription to have a victorious life in Christ. So God said, I just want you to live right. I don't want you to self-destruct out in this world. I don't want you stealing. I don't want you lying. I don't want you cheating. Who would want to do that stuff anyway? Right. All right, let me finish this. Verse 17. As for you, if you will walk before me as David your father walked and do according to all I've commanded you and shall observe my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish your throne of your kingdom according as I have covenant with David, your father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. Verse 19, but if, family, we have a choice. God didn't create robots. We have a choice. We talk about free will. This shows you right here that you have a choice. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will pluck them up by the roots out of my hand, which I have given them. And this house, which I have sanctified, which I have consecrated and set apart for my name, will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. Somebody say, have mercy. But God put it out before us. It's not like anything should surprise you because God's already given us the conditions. Verse 21, let's finish up. And this house, which is high, shall be an astonishment. People will be astonished to everyone that passed by it so that they shall say, why hath the Lord done this unto this land and unto this house? Don't people say, well, how could God let this happen to a little? How could God let that happen? God's already given us the conditions. You can't come at the end and try and figure God out. You can't show up on the scene and go, why did this happen? Because God's already laid it out what his requirements are, what his prescriptions are. So then they come by and they're astonished at what happened. Verse 22. And it shall be answered because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of which brought you out of whatever you substitute, whatever God brought you out of. God brought you out of. We get so comfortable. We start doing our own thing, thinking we're our own God. And then we start serving other gods and worshiping them and serving them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them, which actually we brought the calamity. That verse 22, when it says they served them, laid hold, they embraced the other guys. Not only did they just go after them, they embraced them. Then God brought all this calamity upon them, which actually we brought it upon ourselves. Make a note, family. God says the if is on us. This is part 15. Next week we'll have part 16 of the title of the series, which turned into a mini-series. Is entitled, Is God Enough? With all this being said, is God enough? And that's where we'll pick it up next week. So So if you would, just bow your heads just for just a quick minute. Lord, as you have challenged us, Lord, and showed us that the if is on us to be sober, to watch, to be light, to be salt, to be love, to see you for who you really are. You're high and lifted up. You're on the throne. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're the first, you're the last, you're the Alpha, the Omega. The if is on us if we choose to surrender, submit, and to serve you. And to cast to the side the false counterfeit gods of this world. So Lord, in a time where so much is going on, Lord, let us connect our heart back to your heart. Let us rededicate our lives to you, Lord. Put the fire in us to read your word daily, to seek your face daily, to humble ourselves, to turn from our wicked ways. It's nothing that we should be in that's more important to God, that we can't turn from it. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, and say, God, I want all of you and I want all that you have for me. So, Lord, we confess our sins. We come clean this morning. Ask for forgiveness of our sins, of the ones we committed knowingly, unknowingly, tried to pretend didn't happen, tried to cover up, tried to think wasn't that bad. But we know that you are a God of order, detail, and specifics. We do not want our fellowship broken with you. So we thank you, Lord. Your word says, if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you for the cleansing this morning, Lord. Through the power of your word, through the power of your Holy Spirit. Now, Lord, someone may be here and say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. If you're here and you've never accepted Christ, you're disconnected from God because you don't have Christ in your heart. You have to have a heart-to-heart connection with God. It's not performance-based, it's grace-based. For by grace are you saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. God did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. God saved us. Sent Jesus Christ on a rescue mission to save us from death, hell, sin, and the grave. Thank you, Lord, for doing what we couldn't do for ourselves. So maybe you hear say, Pastor, I've never accepted Christ. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your heart. Or maybe you hear you say, Pastor, I want to rededicate my life. I just want to get back on track. I want to get back to having that heart-to-heart connection with God. I'm not going to wait till the new year. I want to get connected, reconnected to God today. I'm not going to wait till 2018. It's too crazy to be waiting. Bless you. If that's you and you want to rededicate your life, I want to pray with you this morning and elevate your hand. Maybe you're here, you're looking for a church home and say, Pastor, I've been visiting and I know I need to be someplace. I need to be covered. I need to have a church family. I need to have someone praying for me, someone I can be accountable to, someone I can grow with, a place that can help me discover my purpose in God and walk with me as God reveals it to me. If that's you and you want to join us this morning, elevate your hand. We'd love to be your family. We're not members. We are family. So, Lord, we thank you for this day. You've issued the challenge. You don't want us to be business as usual. You want to ignite a fire within us to serve you, to be an ambassador for Christ, a representative of Christ, sharing Christ with a lost and dying, decaying world, sharing Christ with those who don't have a relationship with you or have forgotten about you. So, Lord, we accept the challenge to be sight, to be light, to be salt, and to be love. We accept the challenge, Lord, to work for you, to serve you, to surrender, to commit, to sell out to you and the purpose you have for our life. Bless your people, Lord. Bless the ears that they hear, perceive, and discern what God is speaking this morning. Bless our hearts that we take you to heart. We want to have that heart-to-heart connection and worship the true King and see you as you are. And we thank you, Lord. Pray that your will be done and your kingdom come. We thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet, give someone a hug, and you are dismissed.